What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Laura, what do you got?
All right, so Bad Bunny, a.k.a. Mr. Conejito Malo, does it again. He announced his new album, get this, by posting a Craigslist ad. Yep, an ad. So the ad had his 2019 Bugatti up for sale for $3.5 million. It specified, please, no emails, phone calls only, and then it had a number. So I actually called the number, and this is what you would hear. Hold on. There's a purpose.
You call, all right.
There's a purpose, so this is what you got. So you basically got a snippet of a new song, and then you would receive a text message that gave you the name of the album.
Oh, cool.
Spoiler alert. It's called Un Verano Sin Ti.
A summer without you.
Yep.
All right.
So I thought that was really cool. Like, marketing genius, whoever came up with that. Because you know how many people, like, if you call the number, it actually comes up as Benito, right? And like, it literally, like, on the iPhone, it says Benito. I thought it was pretty cool. A lot of people were like, what? Like, is this really him?
Creative.
Obviously not him.
Creative.
But his team. Shout out to his team. I thought that was really
so they
cool.
Went on Craigslist?
Yeah.
That's still a thing?
I guess so.
Yeah,
okay.
Barely.
All right.
I guess so,
I thought
yeah.
It was all offer up now, but Craigslist, huh?
I guess, man. So, yeah, you would call it, it would hang up, and then literally you would get a text and says, hey, thanks for calling. This is what this is for, and this is what the new album is called.
So, new Bad Bunny coming out.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. I thought it was creative. I thought it was.
It
creative.
Is very
no,
creative.
No, that is super yeah. creative. I mean, cool. Listen. That guy is a musical genius.
Dude.
I don't think there's any question about
marketing
it.
Like, genius also, man. He
well,
sells
too.
Out like no other.
I mean, listen, his concerts on the secondary market, in the primary market, let alone the secondary market, are insane, you know, as far as the price.
Isn't he coming to the Forum soon?
Yep.
Yeah.
Soon, right?
Yeah.
You want to go, Sedano?
What day is it?
I don't know. Whatever day we want. Let's go.
I think it's in
I'm
September.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, when is it?
I think it's in September.
Oh, September's possible. If it's not a week, I mean, it's probably a weekend, though, right?
I believe my best friend got tickets, didn't invite me. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he got tickets.
If it's a weekend, then that's tough because I'll probably be doing college football. So.
Well, I'm going with you, so we got to figure out sometime during the week.
Maybe we can find Bad Bunny on the road somewhere, though.
Yeah, we'll call him. We'll call
you friends with him, too, like Cap? You know,
no, I actually know his people. I ain't going Cap style.
Yeah, Beto knows people though. Like Cap doesn't know anybody. Like he's just not.
I mean,
full
I
of
had
nonsense.
To because you know he's always like I'm friends with Canelo. I'm friends with this.
Okay, so he's at the Forum September 30th, a Friday. So try to get a USC game on a Saturday. We'll go see him the September 30th.
There you go. I'll work on that.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so yeah, September 30th. All right, so Donald, let's go.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I went to see Tigres del Norte the other day. Where were you at? Uh-huh.
Not there. Yeah.
Exactly, because I know people.
Definitely not there, no.
I don't know people. I've never claimed to know people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
care. Beto knows
people
though.
Yeah.
Beto knows people.
That's cool. I like that. I like that marketing for Bad
Bunny. Beto is one of these guys that he's got a person.
I got
he's
a guy.
Got somebody.
Oh, hey, I taught my kid about having a guy yesterday, man.
Yeah.
His battery died at his basketball tournament. I'm like, don't worry about it.
Car battery.
Yeah, car battery. I'm like, we got a guy. AAA, baby. Yes, that's our guy.
Yeah, I mean, why not? That's AAA.
No, but I told him, like, because I had to get his bumper fixed for his little bucket. And he's like, wait, Dad, we're paying cash? I'm like, yes, sir. Gotta have a guy.
Oh, you almost cursed, bro. Be careful.
Yeah. You gotta have a guy. We pay cash for that bumper, bro. No need to pay retail.
You gotta do what you gotta do. All right. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So. You were talking about you were upset watching the Pelicans.
Yeah,
and the Suns.
Because it's not good basketball. Also, I mean, the Pelicans and Suns.
No,
that
game
good
was
battle.
Super
that was
fun.
But the other games,
that game of all the games yesterday, that was the game that I thought was the most fun.
Oh yeah, that was a good game. I like that. I like
because I love that kid Alvarado, the Puerto Rican kid.
Yeah,
from
and
New
Mexican,
York.
And Mexican too.
Is he Mexican too? I didn't know that.
He's Puerto Rican.
He's Puerto
Rican from New York, but he's got like I think a quarter Mexican. So you know we're gonna claim him all day.
Okay, hey, claim him. I ain't mad at you.
Yeah,
I ain't mad at you.
Just like Toscano's half, we'll take him. But yeah, no, I love his attitude. I love Jones's attitude, and they're not scared of CP3. They go at him.
Right, they're not scared. I like that Jones when he fell to the ground. CP3 tried to give him a hand to pick him up, and he was like, nope. And then not Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum picked him up. But yeah, I think they're fun, but people are all in their feelings about B.I. And I get it. He was a Laker.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You ain't had time to wait for no B.I., okay?
Mm-mm. Not
and
at all.
We played the cut last week where, you know, years ago, I had David Griffin on, who's now the general manager of the Pelicans. And this was right around the time when everyone thought maybe he'd be the next general manager of the Pelicans. And he came on to talk about Brandon Ingram, a Laker at the time, and was glowing in his commentary about Brandon Ingram. And I remember pointing to that interview that day and forever since and saying, this man is going to trade, and or you see why he traded for Brandon Ingram. He's always been a huge fan. And he was always going to be the centerpiece of that Anthony Davis deal. However, what I do think, in retrospect, and this was real criticism at the time, Beto, okay? And I'm going to get to the calls because I know people are on hold, okay? But there was real criticism at the time of the front office, okay, in saying you're giving up too much. Too many picks, too many pick swaps.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Too many players. And, you know, David Griffin played it smart, okay? He got everything.
Because the Lakers needed to get him.
Right. And he knew he had
him.
You got LeBron. He wants Anthony Davis. I've been a general manager for LeBron. I know what kind of pressure you're under. Yeah. So I'm going to use that.
You're not
going to
let it walk away. You're not going to let it walk away over a pick or two.
Right. Correct. So he squeezed them and kept squeezing them. And eventually he squeezed them for everything he got.
Yeah, but why are people mad about the Ingram? You had to give him up to get Anthony Davis.
Right, because that is what people don't realize. Like, people are always like, oh, maybe you could have just given up. No, you couldn't have.
But also, if Ingram is playing with the Lakers right now and, say, LeBron, he's not playing the way he is with New Orleans. He's playing a
Correct.
Different kind of basketball. Like, he's Correct. The ball's going through him. Yesterday, the move that he made where he went down the middle and he dunked it, like, he has those moments. And also, Ingram took a while to develop into the Ingram that we're watching right now.
Laker it took fans, 4 years, four yeah, or 5 years.
He's no longer 160 pounds. He's actually Correct. Got some kind of muscle on him. He's put some weight on him. So
Correct.
That's another thing that gets me mad about Laker fans. Yes, they always act like they should get everything. And they should. They expect a lot. Laker Dodger fans expect everything.
They're spoiled, is what
without
you're
a doubt, and then they don't want to give up anything. It's like, oh, right. We'll take Anthony Davis. Here's the second round pick. That's how they feel.
Josh Hart, right?
Yeah. No, that might be too much. Anyways, but they don't realize that you're giving up something. You need to get this back. And Anthony Davis, everybody at that time was, yeah, let's do it. And you know what? They would do it 100% again. And if you're saying that, no, we would keep Ingram, you know, it was going to be a long 4 years. We had those long years here in L.A. where it was the waiting for the kids to develop and it didn't work.
And here's where I'm going to bring in Lindsay, because she understands this as well as anyone, is you're not going to, I mean, you could have Lindsay, is this fair to say? You can have a young player or two on a LeBron roster, but he's not putting up with, like, five or six of them.
Correct. I say that's 100% accurate.
No.
Yeah. Like, you have to have veteran-type guys. Now, they went over the, you know, they got a little crazy this year when they went, veteran was,
but that's their going all-in mode.
Right, but that was a little crazy with everybody is, like, not just a veteran, like a super veteran, basically. You know what I mean? Like, where they've been around too long.
Yeah, my sciatica veteran.
By young people, though, you mean, like, rookies and, like, one-year guys.
Yeah, like, guys on their rookie contracts, basically, still.
Okay, yeah. Because I feel like if you teamed him up with the current Cavs, I feel like he wouldn't say no to that because they're a very good young team, and they're not all rookies. But anyway, I digress.
Right, but, you know, we're talking about, in one case, like, I mean, Kyrie was fairly young when he first got there, but like,
and battled with him.
Right. But that's it. That's the one. That was basically the one guy. And then there were some other guys here and there on that Cleveland team, like a Matthew Dellavedova, who was youngish because he wasn't an NBA guy. He had played in Australia previously, but for the most part, he don't want no young guys. And by the way, for the most part, outside of a couple of young guys, you don't generally win titles.
You don't need those guys. If you're LeBron, like, what do you need those young guys for?
Kuzma was the guy. That was the one guy. And by the way, that was a chore at times, it felt like. Okay? Let's go to the phones. John is in Venice. John, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, folks? Listen, the fix all for the Lakers. Number one, Jerry Buss is turning flip-flops and cartwheels in his grave right now. Jeannie's talking about her father taught her. If he taught her anything, she's not sleeping with Bill Jackson no more. Hire Jerry West, do the best you can to get the logo back. Hire Mark Jackson. Get rid of Pelinka. Get rid of Rambis. Get rid of his wife and the kids. I'm tired of this crap, man. All we want is a bubble ship, not a championship.
right, John, thank you. I mean, listen, I don't know about getting rid of anybody. What I'm sitting here, I'm advocating for, don't get rid of anyone. Just add more smart people to the equation.
But at the same time, they're not going to do that. They've never done it. You give the bus sons, Joey, a lot of credit for finding players like
Caruso. Let me tell you, the younger bus kids have done a great job of finding all those G League guys. Yeah,
as a guy who calls South Bay Laker games sometimes, they are the guys that they have there are developing nicely. I remember doing Caruso games like, this guy's going to come through. When THT was there, that's nice. And you see those guys, and then when they get up, it's like, okay. So if they're finding these diamonds in the rough in the scouting department, if they're going and getting guys in the second round, those guys know what's up. It's the upper management where there's that disconnect. That's where you need to have more of that collective idea of let's go, not just one person.
Well, Jeannie Buss, that's where she has to step in.
Really?
And in the sense of, I know Rob, because Ramona has said this, Rob Pelinka, you know, was not, you know, when he was a big-time agent, he was a small office, small shop, right? He likes it that way. Well, you know what? That's not how this can run. And I understand the Lakers have always run that way, too.
Always,
but that's not basketball in 2022. That's not. It's not the NBA
in 2022. It's not basketball in 2018, man.
Let's go to Michael in L.A. Michael.
Hey, guys. You caught me right in the middle of a Pollo Inca order. Okay,
what are you getting at Pollo Inca? Just real quick.
Chaufas, pollo.
Hold on. Which kind of chaufa? What kind of meat?
The pollo. I'm going pollo.
Oh, the pollo. Yeah. That. Let me tell you something. Pollo Inca has, or Inca Wasi, either one. They're both basically the same thing. Their chaufa, which is basically like a fried rice, is as delicious a fried rice I've ever had anywhere. But go ahead. Continue.
Oh.
Go ahead, sir. Did we lose?
Okay, so I wanted to talk about the elephant in the room. And the gentleman who spoke before us touched on it. Jerry West, building a roster. They placated to LeBron James. I was the guy who sat next. I sat, Jerry West stood right next to me at Staples. That was my seat. It still is my seat since it opened. And never bothered the guy because, you know, I was just... I just was glad he stood next to me. I, you know, found this quiet spot. But I asked him, you build a roster. Yes, sir. There's three. Gracias. Okay, so there's three things, you know. There's the guys that go through the 4 years, like Josh Hart. You got the one and doneers, and now you got the Euro guys, and now you're going to have the guys from Africa. So who in the Laker organizations in Africa looking for the next great world
for the next Joel Embiid or Pascal Siakam, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where's the vision on the roster? They're playing to a veteran who's at the tail end of his career. He's not Kobe. He's not. He's a different kind of man, different kind of athlete with a different kind of mindset. And the Lakers or Magic Johnson, they went all in on him. And I can't be mad because they saved me about $20,000 in no playoff money over the last 8 years, right? Because I haven't had to pay that playoff bill. But at the same time, Jerry West went to the Warriors and he constructed that roster. I asked the owners one day, I said, how did you get Jerry West? And one of the owners turned to me and smiled and goes, money. And Jerry Buss and Jerry West always had a love-hate relationship. When Jerry Buss sent his son Jimmy home on a scouting trip, there's a lot there behind. And I got to say, you know, it kills me to see Jerry West's seat being taken by Kurt Rambis. That dude sits in Jerry West's seat now. And the Buss daughter, she's not a basketball savant. She's an inherited person. She inherited this. She's listening to what? Kurt Rambis's wife? That's her conciliary in the basketball world? Give me a break, man.
Well, Michael, I don't thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Enjoy your Inca Wasi. I don't believe Linda Rambis is sitting here actually talking to Jeannie about basketball stuff. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that if I had to guess, and I don't know, I'm guessing she advises on the bigger picture and the business side.
The marketing now, Kurt, side.
But Kurt, on the other hand, probably does have much more of a hand in basketball. But that's why I'm advocating for more enhancements, for more people. Because this the Lakers can't run like this, like the mom and pop hot dog stand outside of Crypto.com Arena. Like that can't be the case in 2022. There needs to be a real investment into
But we've been saying this for a while too, and this is what the result of not investing in that years ago.
Yeah. You know, well, listen, agreed that that is definitely part of the deal. Now we got to take a quick break. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. I know there are people on hold that want to continue having this conversation or talk about Brandon Ingram. We'll do all that stuff. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Beto hanging out for Cap today. Sedano Cap, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, I loved Growing Pains.
That was Mike Seaver? Is that his name?
Mike Seaver. Kirk Cameron.
Mike! Yeah. Sounded like it's like the remix or something, doesn't it?
I think this was the extended version, like the real full version of the song.
All right.
Great show. It was one of my favorite shows in the 90s.
The dad was a pilot or something, right? They live in Chicago or something?
No.
No? I don't know.
No.
No. No, the dad was a psychologist, I believe, a shrink.
Huh?
You were way off.
Sepa.
Way, way off.
Growing pains.
He's like in Chicago. I'm trying to think who that was.
I don't know. I don't remember this one.
In Chicago? Yeah, I don't know.
Wings, I don't know.
Not Wings. I saw that once.
I never saw that one.
Yeah. Wings reminds me of what Long Beach's airport used to look like.
Yeah?
Do you remember when they had portables at Long Beach Airport? Long Beach Airport is really
it's
nice
the best,
now,
man.
Woo! That is as nice an airport, and it's, like, super easy to get in and out of. Like, it's great.
Oh, it's Alan Thicke was – okay, Mike.
Yeah, Alan Thicke.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know what show I'm thinking about. All right, anyways.
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Yeah, Mike Seaver's dad, what was his name on the show? What was the dad's name? Jason Seaver.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio was on that show.
He was. That's where we first saw Leonardo DiCaprio. That was his first acting, like real acting credit. Yeah, it's crazy. He was, I want to say he was like a kid. Did they adopt him or something?
Yeah, they adopted him.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so... Anyhow, but yeah, love Growing Pains. Love Renee Zellweger. I mean, I don't know what movie he's talking about in the 90s with Jim Carrey. Like, how do you mention Renee Zellweger and not mention Jerry Maguire?
That's what else is there? Right?
I don't even know what he's talking about. Like, I mean, I guess Bridget Jones' Diary is a pretty good movie too.
You lost me there. But it's just Jerry Maguire. That's it.
Jerry Maguire is the movie that put her, like, on the map.
Wait, is he talking about Me, Myself, and Irene? Because if he is, that's a really bad reference for Renee Zellweger. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, that has to be the only movie. I don't think she's ever done another movie with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Morales gets a little off the wall sometimes.
Yeah. Bridget Jones' Diary, man. Women love that movie.
I've never seen it.
Another SEPA. I was like, I've never seen that movie.
Whoa!
I said show.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did they dump that? I was just
I'm not
going to
curse on a show.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Man.
Being safe.
You
not
know
buying
what?
It. Right? Right? I don't think you said a show. You didn't, but...
You got close, bro. Listen, I'm the first one to always yell at Laura for dumping stuff in. Even I was like, damn, dog.
Sepa. Whatever.
You got comfortable, man.
I'm getting way too comfortable. I'll be back after Mason's contract, right? June 30th?
June 28th. It'll be Ireland and Beto.
I'm ready to go. Let's go.
Yeah, Ireland and Beto. Mason also said that pigs in a blanket should not be served at a wedding, Beto.
They never should. No, they shouldn't be served anywhere. You have to dress up. Yeah.
Don't you think that people should just serve whatever they want at a wedding?
No.
Okay.
It's their wedding.
No.
Are you paying for it?
If I'm paying for it and I'm making you dress up,
wait,
I'm going to get
nice. Wait, but you said you're not paying for it because you said that you're not even bringing a gift.
No, I'm not bringing the gift. You get hundreds of gifts. You're not going to miss
mine.
Okay,
you can't tell nobody what they can and cannot serve at their
wedding.
If
you're telling me to get dressed up, you better bring something dressed up worthy. If I'm putting on shoes for you and socks, oh, no, no, no. You better
Hold
bring
on,
something
I'm gonna
nice.
I'm going to text my wife what we served at our wedding.
You
I'm
don't
find
normally
out if you
wear socks.
Okay.
No, if it's a spring wedding, I'm not going to wear socks.
I was going to be like, wait, that's the cutoff? Socks and shoes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's because it's a spring wedding.
Low standards, dude.
Right?
I am very simple. Believe me, I'm wearing a collar shirt today, and I feel out of place right now. So
that is true. You are a little dressed up today.
Yeah, I was hosting a press conference at Golden Boy for Zurdo Ramirez's fight. So I got called in out of the...
Zurdo Ramirez!
Yeah, I got called in from the minor leagues. I got called up today, so I'm ready to go. So, but that's why I'm dressed up. I didn't have a t-shirt with me, or else I'd change into... Like, right now... No, you don't serve pigs in a blanket at a wedding.
I've texted my wife now, because I sure as hell don't remember. I said, do you remember what we served at our cocktail hour at our wedding? So I'll wait for a response.
By the way, can I jump in on something that your wife tweeted earlier?
Yeah.
She said that I guess she burnt her tongue on soup, and she said, I hate how when you burn your tongue on soup, it ruins your whole day. It does. It really does.
Because
then you can't taste anything for like 24 hours. It's the worst.
Well, I don't generally do that on soup because I don't have soup enough. But what I would say is it definitely happens when I have pizza and it's like more the roof of my mouth. But it's a similar concept.
Yeah, after you put the pizza in the microwave, it comes out too hot. That's when you burn yourself. Yeah,
18
put it
seconds.
In the toaster oven, bro.
18.
Yeah, there's a by where I live. There's like a little pizza joint, and the guy he's like, "Hey, 18 seconds. If you reheat it, that's
perfect."
Nah,
you put everything in the microwave is 1 minute. It doesn't matter. That's the Mexican way. 1 minute.
30-second button twice.
There's a 30-second button?
Yes, there's a 30-second button.
I feel like every microwave has one.
Mine has it.
Does it have a 30-second button? I've never known.
I just put 1 minute for everything.
I don't type in numbers. I just hit 30, 30, 30, 30.
Oh, no, I type in numbers, but mine has 30. Like,
I put everything in the toaster oven now. I don't even do microwave anymore. No. I'm too fancy.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, toaster oven. Look at that. As you should, though, Sedano. You should. You're a TV star.
Or an air fryer. I put a lot of stuff in
the air fryer. The air fryer is the best.
So Sedano doesn't have a comal anymore. That's right. No comal.
Nope. It was like five or six, I was going to say horse D-R-Vs. hors d'oeuvres.
Wait, that's what my dad calls them as a joke. He calls them horse divers.
Horse D-R-Vs. I know. That's why I was.
See, your wife has taste. There's not. Look, my wedding.
Five or six different ones.
My wedding was on the beach, and I had fancy hors d'oeuvres. So I'm not serving no pigs in the blankets. I took care of you. You're going to my wedding. I'm going to set you up. And I had, it was on the sand. I even made sure.
But what
you
did you have for like dinner? Because I had traditional stuff. We had chicken. We had steak. We had a vegetarian meal.
But it was different. I got married in Cabo. So if you're going destination wedding, I went all out. I went surf and turf, open bar, top shelf.
Wow.
Because if you're flying to my wedding, I'm going to take care
of you. Damn, dog. I wish I'd have known you back then.
Well, that's different because they had to fly and have
expenses. Yeah. So I'm going to make, I'm not going to give you pigs in a tortilla, we're ready to go.
Right, but it's not like you're, it's not like you're driving to La Habra, you know, to go to the wedding, you know what I mean?
It might
like,
be faster to go to Cabo than go to La Habra on the sometime
that's
on a Friday.
True, depends on the day.
Yeah,
where
exactly. Exactly. Nah, you just don't, no. If you're gonna get dressed up, serve something nice.
Appetizers are different than the meals. I think it's okay to have a casual appetizer, especially if it's like a social hour thing, you know, in between like the wedding ceremony and the reception, they want people to like chill for an hour or two. But stick around. You can serve something, casual finger food.
And you want to lubricate for the alcohol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
if little kids are saying, ooh, then you shouldn't be serving that as an hors d'oeuvre.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Right, how many people really like the super, super fancy food? That's all I'm saying.
Doesn't matter. I want to know you spent money on me.
Okay.
By the way, speaking of you want to know if people are spending money on you, we're doing some stuff to help you, be closer to your sports teams, okay? So we are in essence spending like emotional dollars, not real dollars, but emotional dollars. So I guess real dollars because we are the Rams rights holder. So, but we're giving you a chance to attend our exclusive Lombardi party on Thursday, May 12th at Hollywood Park Casino. You can take a photo with the Vince Lombardi trophy and celebrate with the Ramily. Listen to the entire show for your chance to win. Two passes to the party on May 12th at Hollywood Park Casino, hosted by Mason, who likes pigs in a blanket. So bring him some pigs in a blanket. Rams souvenir, and of course a chance to win autographed Rams gear and more. So keep listening to our show here for your chance to win. We'll give you a chance to win that stuff here during the show. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. Gianni in Montebello has been holding on patiently. Gianni, what's up?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to talk about the Brandon Ingram thing. I think a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people remember, but wasn't there a thing about how Brandon Ingram had blood clots in his shoulders?
That happened at the end, at the end of his tenure here, yes. But that eventually checked out because obviously New Orleans would not have traded for him if that wasn't the case.
But wasn't that also a factor of us trading him away? And
no, no, not really. Not really, Johnny. It was really more along the lines of, you know, that's what New Orleans wanted the centerpiece to be.
Yeah, because I also remember that Kuzma had quite a year that year, too. He had multiple games of over 20, also even 30, and even had a couple, I think a 40-point game that season. And he was starting to look like the upside of Kuzma.
A rough start to the year. And thank you for the call, Johnny. He had a rough start to the season, but he was starting to come in his own. But he was struggling a little bit with LeBron at times, just kind of finding his place, to Beto's point, that he needed the ball in his hands.
They were butting heads, right?
No, not literally, no.
No, but I'm saying like on the court.
Or even figuratively, in that matter, no.
I mean, we're talking about Kuzma. Like, come on. Like, you know what you're doing, and I get what you're saying when you're thinking about Ingram did have something, but you got to get rid of him if you're going to go get Anthony Davis, and they knew that.
You had to give up something, right?
I everybody always says in the beginning, whatever it takes to win a championship. Okay, you get your championship, and then the cupboard is bare, and it's like, oh, we should have done that.
The bill comes. Yeah. The bill comes for the wedding, for the party.
Oh,
you bought more than pigs in a blanket, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, what do you mean? Where did all this come from?
Yeah, you're flossing on Instagram, then all of a sudden, like, whoa, wait a minute. I shouldn't have bought two bottles at the club that night. Like,
right, exactly.
My friends are going to help pay for me, right? Then the friends disappeared. No.
You got to pay that Visa bill at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how it works. All right. Coming up next, we're going to play Radio Tinder. We are back in 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so yeah, I'm taking it away.
There you go.
Okay, what's Hill Street Blues?
That's what I said. It's a song. What show was it again, Sedano?
Hill Street Blues was an old cop show in the 80s.
Okay, it was the show, the song in the show, same name. And I had no idea what it was.
Wow.
And so one day Morales decided to play it as the Radio Tinder
opened. It was just
random,
yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, what is that? And so then he thought it was so funny that I didn't know what it was.
First episode, 1981?
Right, I was not even alive
yet. It was on
yet.
NBC. Yeah.
Not even thought of.
Okay. Yeah.
It was one of those. It was like the first, like, version. You remember, like, that show NYPD Blue?
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Stephen Bochco produced it.
Right. It was like the first early it wasn't as hardcore as that show was, because obviously that show was like in the 2000s, you know what I mean, but it was, for the time, was a very like real deal cop show, you know.
I mean, I'm not trying to sound like I'm young or something, because I'm in my 40s, but Morales is an old dude, man.
I mean, I'm with you on that, and not on him being an old dude, just that song is like, I don't get the reference.
I didn't either. There's nothing about it.
I think we should have listeners like tweet at us.
How about something from this decade?
Yeah, tweet at us with suggestions for music for Radio Tinder. Tweet at me, at Lindsay Baseball.
Old man Morales.
What music should we use?
Someone actually says go even older and play the Barney Miller intro at that point.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't even get
there
that.
There you go.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
No, that was like a comedic cop show. So.
How do you know? You're early 40s?
Because I loved television growing up.
Man. Nothing says
you must have been
Tinder
only child,
and,
right?
And apps like old 70s cop shows.
Yeah, there you go.
Woo!
Way to go young.
All right, first story here. Radio
well, you know,
Tinder.
We want to make sure some of Mason and Ireland's audience listens to the show, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mason.
Okay, I got you. All right, so speaking of older people, I guess that's what my transition here. So every parent has different views on when kids should leave the nest. And Shaq recently shared his view on the Pivot podcast. What's so funny?
Morales did send that. He said Barney Miller tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
Crickets. Okay.
What is Barney Miller again? A
no, I actually want to see how long he can just do like random 80s like theme songs that you won't know. Like, I actually feel like that's a funny
bit. Is this like the stuff that's on Nick at Night or
It used to be. I don't even think it's on Nick at Night anymore, but I'm sure you could find it somewhere. Yeah.
Throw in some Mr. Ed, like that one.
Okay,
that's even too old for me, though.
Okay.
Barney Miller, okay. No clue what that
Stay
is.
Stay tuned tomorrow to find out what our next show from the 60s and 70s
all right, well,
song we
let
play.
Me know about Dos Mujeres Un Camino. Well, I'm right there with you when Poncho was in the novella, all right?
Oh, Eric Estrada.
Yeah,
all right, see, go ahead,
all right, sorry, Lynn, sorry.
It's okay. So back to beginning here. Every parent has different views on when kids should leave the nest, and Shaq recently shared his view on the Pivot podcast. He said, quote, I tell my boys, when y'all turn 18, y'all got to go. Girls can stay as long as they want. They can go to college. I'll pay for it. Take your time. I like my girls a little bit better. I trust them more because they're more sensitive. They're more caring, and they're thinkers. You guys both have kids. Do you tend to agree with Shaq on this? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
Okay, I'm swiping left because I'm not kicking any of my kids out when they're 18 if they're not ready to be in the world. You know what I mean? Like, that is probably a thing you can do when you're a bazillionaire, but like, because I'm sure you're still taking care of them in some way, shape, or form. But I think for most of us, and I don't think Shaq is actually doing that. Like, I don't believe that.
I think he is, though.
I think he
is. Because he talked about it recently, how he said that he told his kids, I'm rich, you're not. Now, if you want to start a business, I can invest in it, but I'm not going to give you money just because. You have to come back with him with the business plan.
And he said that they had to graduate with not just their bachelor's, but their master's degree.
In order for him to invest with them, right?
For him to continue supporting them or investing with them.
This is the Shaq's rich person. Like, you know what? I'm not going to hand it to you, kid. I don't want you to be
a lazy kid.
I like that.
But
I'm not kicking him out.
Shaq is not kicking out his kids at 18. First of all, I would imagine the former Mrs. O'Neill, Shawnee, is not letting that happen either, okay? If I had to guess.
Yeah, it's...
Let me tell you, I love Shaq, but if there's one thing Shaq likes to do is embellish a little bit.
You think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, am I supposed to swipe left or right?
Yeah, do you
agree? I'm swiping left. I'm not kicking my kids out at 18 if they're not ready.
Yeah.
Now, if my kids are super mature and can handle being out of the house, then yeah, all right. If you want to go away to college, you're going to college, you want to live on your own, you can handle it, so be it.
You know, the Latino culture, we don't kick you out. You stay until you have your own kids and you live with your parents. like that's what you do. Then you have the backyard wedding with birria. But my son, and I'll say this for example, my son Mateo, he's 17, and I lucked out. He's a great kid. I want him out of the house when he graduates college, going away to college. I want him to do
right,
what
you want him to go away. I never did it.
I've never left LA. I want him to go experience living in a dorm, go and do all that other stuff because he's mature enough to handle that. I didn't feel he was mature enough to figure things out. Like, for example, he has my credit card and his monthly bills come through on my credit card and he knows how to use it. And I show him, this is what you've spent this month. This is what we're paying off. This is what we're doing. He understands that. So I have no problem with him leaving. If he wasn't like that, I'd be like, you know what? Let me hold you in a little bit. Because especially with guys, they mature way slower than girls.
Correct.
So I lucked out with Mattel. He's a good one. So he leaves, fine. But if he wasn't as mature, I'd be like, you know what? Stay here, go to JUCO, and learn to grow up and make mistakes while I can still see you instead of like being completely gone.
I'm laughing because now everybody's tweeting different TV show theme songs that Morales should play tomorrow, which is pretty hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, you should give him his own credit card so he could build his credit.
We're in the process.
I mean, I know you have to be like 17, 18 to do that, but yeah.
He has his own bank account.
When he gets to college, he can do that.
Yeah, but I'm also...
You can do cosign on it.
Don't worry, Lindsay. I already used the Social Security card for me, right? I already got some of his credit on my side.
I only say that because when I turned 18, the first thing I did was go out and get like 3 credit cards because
For example, the first thing I did, I went and bought a stereo at Circuit City and a VCR because El Camino College, they just gave me a credit card. I'm like, what's up?
And then you're like, oh, wait, I got to pay this back.
And that one became Brandon Ingram. Like, oh, man, I got to pay this off again. Uh-oh, messed it up. I'm still paying that stereo.
I got braces. That was the first thing.
That's an investment. That's all right.
Yeah.
I didn't need a speaker to go to Papa's and beer.
All right, what's next, Lindsay?
All right, so in a historic move last week, Maxim Bet announced that it was partnering with Rockies outfielder Charlie Blackmon, a first for an active MLB player. The 4-time All-Star and former NL batting champ will serve as a brand ambassador in marketing campaigns, promotions, and social media content for the online sports betting company. The new CBA allows players and coaches to have partnerships with betting companies. Do you think that this deal is going to open the door to change Pete Rose's Hall of Fame eligibility? Swipe left or swipe right? Beto.
Ooh, I'm going to say no, so that'd be right.
Yeah, it'd be left, but it's
oh, it'd be left. I'd be no, left. It's crazy, right? How they're in bed with gambling, yet Pete Rose is out because of gambling. But it's because of the way that Pete Rose handled himself over the years. It's the way that Pete Rose said, you know, basically didn't take ownership for it, like putting the blame on you for this, this, and that, and his arrogance in interviews and the way he handled it, and the way he treated it, instead of just falling down and saying, "Yeah, I did this." Like that's what's holding Pete Rose out. It's and now you look at it and you're like, man, so you're telling me I can get sponsored by a company, we can bet on games, and you're in the stadium and they're giving you live odds of what's
MLB
happening.
MLB partners with DraftKings.
Yep. And but this has to do more with the way Pete Rose handled the situation than anything else.
I'm going to swipe left only because baseball will never want to give Pete the satisfaction, to Beto's point. So yeah. I'm with him on that.
I bet one they will when he's dead.
Yeah, right. Posthumously, yes.
All right, last one here. Elon Musk is buying Twitter. No. He's taking it private. Twitter agreed to Elon Musk's offer to purchase the social media platform at a price of $44 billion, they announced today. So the deal brings arguably the Internet's most influential platform under the control of one of, if not the world's richest person. Is Elon Musk buying Twitter a good thing, Sedano? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe left because I just think we've talked about this a million times about Elon. I believe he's just way too impulsive. I think he's a really brilliant person. Like, don't get me wrong, but I don't think there's a reason he's not on the board of his own company. Right. Like, I just think that there's a reason for that. And, what I would add is that I think the funniest part about this is everyone that is professing that Elon is the, you know, the end all be all right in this situation is like free speech, free speech, free speech. And don't be a sheep, right? Is like, you know, Elon thinks differently, except they literally fawn over every syllable that he utters, which is kind of the opposite of everything they're espousing anyway. That's not everybody, but I there are plenty of huge advocates that would, you know, that would do that. So I am cautious at best about Elon taking over Twitter.
Yeah, I'm right there with Sedano. It's you think about it. We talk about it because we're on Twitter and we use it as a mode of communication, as a mode of information. But the majority of the country, they're really on it. You know,
no, it's like 10% or 12% of the country,
and it's huge and it's very toxic. And I'll for example, for me, I only use it now for information. Like, the only accounts that I follow are sports accounts. I got rid of all the political ads. I got rid of all the other stuff. I got rid of my friends who were just complaining about everything. So my Twitter is actually a happy place because it's I got rid of the toxicity that I was following. So
good
if you do it right, like, I'm not going to see a difference. I did say that he might do a paywall or anything like that. I'm not doing it. I don't pay for anything, so I ain't doing that.
Right. Well, we know that. Yeah,
well, exactly.
I mean, you're not even bringing a gift to a wedding.
No, you're not going to know that I left you a card.
You're not even wearing socks and shoes unless it's a special occasion.
Hey, my watches are nice, homie. Some nice one. If it's a spring wedding,
that's true.
You better be right.
All right, that is Radio Tinder presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit tequilamandala.com. That's their website. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala.
I had it this weekend. I'm not a commercial. I had it this weekend, George. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about now.
I even had it straight.
All right, speaking of this weekend, it got wild between the Dodgers and Padres, and some really good news when it comes to the Dodgers specifically. So we'll get to some of that coming up on the other side. We're back in 2.5 minutes. Go ahead, Beto.
Man, come on now. Laura's in the zone right now. Go ahead, Laura. You all right? You know you're at a radio station right now, right?
I'm good.
Yeah. You know you're working now, right?
Yeah, I know.
You can open your eyes.
I'm good.
She's in the zone, Sedano. She's in the zone. Look at you. Who's this? Say it right.
Big boy.
Big boy. So, Lindsay, while you were gone, you missed the funniest thing, right? So this is like reggaeton music, right? So, like, you know, Laura played it, and she was like, I bet you guys won't guess what it is. And I only knew because I've heard the song, even just recently I've heard it. Like, you know what I mean? Like someone, excuse me. Sorry, guys. I am.
She's still going right now. Sadana.
I'm recovering from COVID. So the
you're going. Laura's going. The show's all off the rails.
So I had heard the song recently. Okay, and all of a sudden, Laura plays the song, and Cap goes, "Oh, I know who it is." And we're like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, Big Boy." And I was like, "Whoa! How did you know? Like, that's crazy." And I'm like, "Was this like on like your Peloton or something, like Alex Toussaint or whatever?" And he's like, "So he's lying to us for a few minutes about it. It's on Alex Toussaint and this, that, and the other." And then eventually he copped to it. Do you know how he copped to it, Lindsay? What he actually did to guess the song?
Did he? What's that called? Did he? Shazam?
Yes, that's what he did.
Oh my god!
He Shazammed it to his headphones.
And
that's smart though.
He was smart.
What a snake!
Good job,
Cap. Give him credit for that.
As much as you guys make fun of him, and you guys, not me, that's my guy.
Yeah.
You couldn't even contain
him. Hey, he's got to figure out a way to get in with you guys as far as like keep up with you, because we make fun of him all the time for not knowing, for being the old man Cap and out of tune
guy. Don't make fun. We have fun with him.
Agreed.
Okay.
People are coming at us saying that we like we're bullying him and all this stuff. And I was like, we do not bully him.
Listen, he can stand up for himself. All right, relax.
Because you know he's listening right now. Let me have 20 seconds of like pretending to like Cap, right? Yeah, you leave him alone. Cap is good. I have no problem with him trying to Shazam and fill in with you guys.
No, I thought it was.
I actually said smart. I'm going to give you a lot of credit for actually doing that. That was really smart.
We all gave him so much because I had heard the song, and I sent it to Morales, and I was like, "Yo, the guys will never know what this song is." And he's like, "I don't even know what this song is." I'm like, "What?"
Well,
he's
like, "It's not a song from the 50s."
Wow.
I'm not taking shots at Chris.
Now, Chris is leaving to the Angels game, and he's listening to this right now.
Oh, they're playing the Guardians, by the way. Have fun going to that game.
But good for, our boy Kaplan, man. No more bullying. Leave him alone.
We don't bully him.
We don't bully him. We have fun with him.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I can't even say that straight face.
So, look, can we, like... Let me ask you a question with this Dodgers Padres brawl in the stands.
Man.
Like,
man.
Why is it the Dodger fans always got to get blamed for this right out of the
game? Thank you.
I'm just asking without knowing.
Okay, so the brawl. Be quiet over there, man. Let me get my thought out first. Why? Because the Dodgers have a reputation for doing that. And you're going to look, I know a lot of Dodger fans. I hang out at Left Field Pavilion, I'll let you know. And when they travel, they're not exactly, and I'm generalizing here, the majority of people are going down to San Diego to have a good time. But a lot of Dodger fans go down there. Why? To let you know that they're taking over your stadium. They let it be known that it's Dodger Stadium South or Dodger Stadium North when they go see the Giants. So they're provoking. They're not going there sitting on their seat and their hands folded. No, they're looking for something. So why are Dodger fans getting the blame? Because they're being loud about it. They're posting about it. They're doing this. And are both sides to be blamed? Yes, absolutely. If you're going to have a fight, obviously said something. Like that line of don't start none, won't be none, right? Something happened. Somebody said something. And there was fights. What was it, every single day I saw that? And it sucks because San Diego is a great place to watch a game. And it sucks that Dodger fans get that reputation for doing it. But you've seen them when they go to different cities. They all, especially in Arizona, you've seen a lot of those too. You know, and it sucks because you're going to a baseball game. Like, I get it. You're going to cheer for your team. But Dodger fans love to puff their chest out. They absolutely do. And what do they say? It's not a rivalry. Nobody talks more about the Padres than Dodger fans. Just the same way that nobody talks more about the Clippers and Laker fans. It's like, you're above them. Why are you even acknowledging them? You know, in my group chat, my boy Ace of SoCal, they send pictures out. And I'm like, there you go. You didn't even mention the fact that the Dodgers won. You're talking about how the Padres lost. And Dodger fans are going to get that rip. They know it. They know
it. Right, but here's the thing. I will give Dodger fans credit for this. The Padre fans, you can't, like, claim someone as your rival. There's got to be a real back.
You can't. No, you can claim they're your rival when you're looking up. But the Dodgers don't need to acknowledge it. Like, the Dodgers rival is the Giants. The Padres are saying, look, we're a rival. Look, okay, cool. You got new uniforms.
Even the Cardinals,
yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, look, you got new uniforms.
I was
going to
say, who decided? Who decided that the Padres and Dodgers are rivals?
Padre fans. Okay. Because they got new uniforms, they got Machado, and they finally got good. And they're like, look, we're battling with you guys. Great, you're battling with us. Dodgers, their expectations to go to the World Series. The Padres are just trying to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is, why are you even acknowledging the people who are going to be in second place? So the Dodger fans are the ones trying to create – I mean, the Padre fans are the ones trying to create the rivalry, not the Dodger fans.
No, agreed. But that's my point, is that you can't just go out there and – I can't walk up to you and be like, Beto, you're my rival. Like, I can't just say that and it be the case.
No, it would be me going up to you because you're the guy with the full-time job who's on TV, who's got this. I'm like, oh, Sedano's my rival because I'm trying to get to where you're at. Like, you, George, shouldn't be saying – you don't have a rival because you're not – you're focused on the bigger picture. I'm the one trying to get to where you're at.
I just think the whole thing with them is weird.
And then Padre fans, too, they've been getting chippy the last couple years.
Well, they did because they're good. Tatis is one of the best players in the sport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been dinged up a lot. But, yeah, like, they're good. They're supposed to be good. Machado's good. You know, they're supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, the Padre fans the last couple of years, it's like they win and it's like, woo! Like when they beat the Dodgers on Saturday night, you saw videos of Padre fans in Gaslamp going all crazy. Cool, let them do that when you're a small market team. You're supposed to do that. Great, you beat them on a Saturday. I wasn't even watching. I'm worried about other stuff.
Yeah, when you look at historically, the Dodgers and Giants obviously is the big
That's
rivalry.
The one.
I would even say the Cardinals to
yes.
an extent.
I hate Jack Clark. To this day, I still hate Jack
right.
Clark.
Yeah, John Tudor. You know what I mean?
Needed like, Fuhr giving up that bomb to him, and then
Ozzie
hits one home run a year, and he does the cartwheel.
And
man,
it did it against
that.
The Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah. And Lock High guys. See, I still hate Jack
Tommy
Clark.
Herr.
Yeah, Tommy
base.
Herr. All yeah. them guys. Yeah, yeah. yeah. Willie yeah. McGee. See, that's.
Willie McGee.
Yeah, that's why.
Vince Coleman.
All them. Like, if you're a Dodger fan, you hate the Giants and the Cardinals, too, because the Cardinal way. And if you're a Laker fan, you hate everything about Boston. Simple as that.
Right. Which, by the way, I do want to get to that in the next hour. About the fact that Boston could be the team to beat
Man.
In the NBA right now. That can't be.
That's
I mean,
annoying.
If Lakers fan season wasn't bad enough.
That's
okay?
the one.
I mean, that might be what puts people, you know, in the hospital. You know what I mean?
That's just, I guess because I'm the older guy and I hated everything about Boston in the 80s. And, you know, knowing that the parquet floor and. Like in Winning Time, when they showed Johnny Most, the announcer, I've never heard of him before. I had heard the name that was their chick Hearn, right?
Yeah, that's their chick Hearn.
But Johnny I Most. Didn't really. I'm not going to go Google.
He had a very gravelly voice,
yeah.
Johnny.
I'm not going to go Google Johnny Most or YouTube him as a guy from LA until I did after Winning Time. Man, you talk about a homer. Then that guy, what's his partner? Tommy Heinsohn. Yeah. My goodness. What? That, like, Chick was to the point and he would tell you what's going on. Man, those Boston homers. My. I went down a rabbit hole after that Winning Time the other day with the Celtics announcers. Man, you got to be from Boston to like that. That's the only one. Like, Chick is the one that everybody loved.
So let me ask you this question, though, doubling back on the Dodgers. I do want to get into the Boston part of this. And I do think that there is, when you look at the Lakers coaching search, I think there's a model, okay? And there's the model is actually one we're seeing in the playoffs. And I'll explain that on the other side. So stick around for that. But real quick about the Dodgers. Just to double back on that. Like, baseball, would you say baseball is the most humbling sport of all of them for a player?
Without a doubt. You fail so much. It's so hard. Like, just to get one hit. Like, the other night I went, we sat front row. Yeah, I'm bragging. And behind the Braves dugout. And we're watching these dudes throw, and they're like 98 at the knees. Everything's bending. How do you even see these pitches?
Yeah.
And the way the guys are throwing now with the curves and sliders at 90-something, like, it's just ridiculous. Of course, it's without a doubt, it's the most humbling sport.
Right. And the other aspect of that is, and you know, this Cody Bellinger's not alone in this case, where we've literally seen guys be like all-star, in his case, an MVP, right, and have like an awful season. Like, where it looked like he didn't even know how to play baseball at times last year.
They sent him to the minors, right?
Right. It's the most humbling sport because of that. Not only that, it's just the fail rate, right? Like 30% of the time you succeed, you're a Hall of Famer. But just individually, for guys that are even awesome at it,
yes,
you can have a bad year and it just comes out of nowhere.
You can have a bad month, which leads to another month, and all of a sudden everybody is like, what's wrong with you? You don't think, and the players, especially with the hitters, they tinker so much with their swing to just make contact and fine-tune what is wrong.
Yeah.
And to get to that level where Cody Bellinger was a couple years ago, and I'm happy to see that he's succeeding now.
Yeah, he's back, right?
But it's also, you're looking at him, you're like, oh, that's great. And then you're also kind of waiting for, how long is this going to last?
Right. Like, right. But hopefully this continues, this side of it continues for him.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Coming up next, here's the path for the Lakers to find a coach. We'll do that, and we do have to tackle this Boston thing because it's starting to look like they're going to sweep the Nets and that they may be the favorite to win the whole thing. We'll tackle some of that on the other side. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes and 45 seconds.